so grateful for, you know, I take this pulpit extremely serious because I'm married to the guy that preaches in it. And I know how prepared he is. And I know how serious he is. His careful handling of the word is so true. And I'm just honored to be able to speak from this pulpit, being very honest. And oh, it's a wonderful day in God's house today. We had a wonderful weekend. We've had a great service. Yes, was that amazing? There's kind of no words to express how special this weekend. I'm passionate about seeing people's, like the scales come off their eyes and them to see how beautiful and wonderful Jesus is. That's what excites, you want to know what energizes me? That's what energizes me. So it's been that kind of weekend. Before I share from the word, I'd like to recognize a guest. So there is a couple here, Catherine and Jerry Tack. And I met Catherine within the last year. And she is just one of the most special ladies in Chicago. She has speaking of passion, everybody has like a different, right? What makes us tick in God? What makes her tick is she wants to see people's faith in Jesus expressed in the workplace. And she's done an amazing job of bringing women together, especially women, and get them to gather together to talk about how they could do a better job of sharing their faith. Don't you think that's an amazing calling? Can we welcome Catherine and Jerry? Would you stand? Please stand. She's an amazing lady. Jerry, so good to meet you. So good to meet you. I'm a girl. So girls like nice things. I got this super cute pouch from Pastor Toledo on one of our trips, using it for the first time to pull out my iPad to speak to you. I've been waiting for this moment, you know. I already saw myself carrying it up, taking my iPad out of the cute bag, and here we are. Yeah, girls will be girls, guys. You have to just work with us. So I want to tell you today the best news ever is that God has done great things for you.
Amen. Come on.
God has done great things for you. Now, if you're like me, when I've heard that growing up, I've loved the song, "He has done great things. He has done great things." I grew up singing that. And I always thought about, you know, my life, my family. I remember being a little kid and being like, yeah, God has been really good to me. He has done great things. But today we're not talking about what he's done in the past. We're talking about what he's about to do in the future. Because he has done great things for you in the days to come. How many say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And to prove it, we're going to go to the book of Joel. Some of you might call it Joel, but I call it Joel, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. One, we looked it up in the Hebrew, and in Hebrew, it's Yoel. So, sounds like Joel to me. And then I have a grandson, and he's just precious. He's adorable. My son's son, and his name is Joel. So, that's how I'm saying it today. The passage is from that book. Joel was a prophet. And when he talks to us from this book, he is speaking about things that were happening then and now, if you will. And then he switches gears and starts to talk about then. You'll see, if you go to the book of Joel, notice when he says now, but then sometimes he says, then I will. So he's prophesying. Prophecy is God using a vessel like you or me, like he used Joel, to tell people what was about to happen in the future. And if it's in the Bible, it's going to happen. How many of you know that? It's going to happen. So I'm so thankful for this passage because this is what it says. Joel 2, verse 20, the second half of 20 and 21. Here it is. Surely, not maybe, surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. That's what I want to hear. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Amen. Amen. So he's not talking about the past. And if I said to you, God has done great things, your first response is going to be, amen. Yeah, I could testify to that. If you belong to Jesus, if you've been walking with him for any period of time, you would probably say, I could tell you a couple things he's done in the past that are pretty amazing. But he's prophesying. What about that? He's prophesying God has done great things. Ooh, that leaves some suspense. Doesn't it make you think, what could those be? Wait a minute. Surely God has done great things? Like there's no possibility that he won't do great things? That's what the prophet is saying to you, every mom here today, everybody that's sitting in this room, and that's what he's saying to me. We can bank on it. We can bank on it. So he says, the next part of it says, be not afraid, be glad, and rejoice. So as I was reading this passage in my just daily devotions, everybody should just have their time that they're reading their word every single day. Don't let a day go by without reading your word. But as I came across this passage, the reason why I immediately realized that he was talking about the future was because he said, do not be afraid. Because if he said, do not be afraid, it all comes together. It's like, he has done great things. Do not be afraid. Like, look forward. He's done great things. Don't be afraid. And start to rejoice and be glad. So, do not be afraid. You can put that up. Confirms. Every time you see in the Word of God, do not be afraid. It's confirming what God wants to do for you. Okay? This passage, we're not talking about the past, although he's done great things. He's saying, do not be afraid, Mom, because he's already done great things for you. So start to rejoice. Start to be glad in that promise. I'm so thankful that the Word of God is just like loads, like a truckload of promises for his people. Read your word, seeing it as a truckload, a lot more than a truckload, but just see a load like a truck that's just like dumping out, and they're falling on your life. Promises for you, promises for me. And when we read this again, this is so easy. I feel like we could memorize this. Surely he has done great things. Say it. Do not be afraid. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. You'll have that memorized by tonight, and let that stick with you like white on rice. Amen? Surely he has done great things. Yes, do not be afraid confirms that he's talking about the future. And he tells us to be glad and rejoice. And I was in worship this morning thinking about what I was going to share. It started to kind of shift my worship, my praise, just a little bit. Because we come in and we praise God for what he's done. And that is why we praise him. We thank him for what he's done. But I want you to incorporate in your praise and worship, church, okay, everyone watching online, when you worship God, and you should do that not just when you come into church. You should do that all day, in your car, in the train. Let them think you're crazy. Worship the Lord. But now begin to incorporate the verse you just kind of memorized, which is, thank you, because you have done great things. I don't know what they are yet, but your word said it. And if your word says it, I believe it. Amen? So we want to start to incorporate that. So start rejoicing. Start rejoicing. Start rejoicing about the things you have no idea God is going to do, but that he's going to do. Start rejoicing. You don't need to know what they are. I mean, when you think about it, so much of what we celebrate, like Christmas, let's say, what's the most fun part of Christmas? Let's just, I mean, we love the meal, we love the family time, but what do we all think about when we think about Christmas? Getting gifts, because they're what? They're wrapped, and they have a bow, and they're not. Imagine how, it would totally blow the whole thing if there was like a pair of shoes under the tree and then a blouse under the tree. We would be grateful, but it wouldn't be the same. It's the surprise aspect of it. It's not knowing. So think about it. We're made in his image. Half the time we get, all our ideas are from God. Come on, don't. Our ideas are from him. So when someone had the idea to take what the wise men, what they did around the, in Bethlehem, around the baby, and they brought gifts, and someone thought it was a great idea. Someone might know the history, but someone thought it was a great idea to give gifts at Christmas. And I really think that was God's idea. Because he loves to surprise us. The same way we do good things for our kids, and you can't wait to wrap those and see them open them. That's what God wants to do. He wants to wait so you could pull that bow off, open that gift up, and see. Be surprised. Be surprised at the amazing things he wants to do. Amen. So we want to start rejoicing. That takes a different kind of faith. This is the truest faith. This is what I feel is the purest faith of all. You want to know what pure faith is? This. It is believing that God is going to do great things despite what's going on in your life. That's what distinguishes us as his kids. That's what distinguishes us as his people. The world, I was saying this morning, it's kind of like, this is how it should look for us as his people. When you're at work and you're going to the little snack area or whatever you have at your job, and you ask your friend and you say, how are things going? How's it been, you know, what's going on? How are you doing? You know, we always say, how are you doing? And your coworker says, it's a mess. My life is a mess. This went wrong this week. The boss just called me in. He's upset at me, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, how are you doing? And you say, this is what distinguishes us. You say, actually, my life is sort of kind of the same in a couple aspects of, I have this going wrong, and I have this going wrong, and this going wrong. However, that's what distinguishes us. Do we have problems? Of course we have problems. But that's even the stronger testimony, is when we tell that coworker, I've got problems too. But my word says, the word of the Lord, your creator, my friend, has spoken over your life that he is going to do great things for you. Oh my gosh. That's what I'm talking about. That's a game changer right there in itself. Is your, right, by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, they need the blood, and it's the word of our testimony. They need to hear that there is forgiveness, but then they need to hear that it's real, that it's like real life hope, real life faith. That's what it is. Try it this week. Try it this week. The next time someone says, I'm doing horrible, say, you know what, things are kind of rough for me too. Because unless, I'd like to meet you after the service if you don't have a problem. I'd really like to meet you because James, the book of James, the chapter 1 says, consider it all joy when you go through trials of many kinds, because they are intended to build perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that we won't be lacking. I hope I didn't botch that up, Pastor Toledo. But our faith is supposed to be pure as gold. Pure as gold, right? That the problems are intended to give us a testimony. Even in the waiting. So, God, I tell you again, it's been declared over your life. The prophet was used to speak to us and say, God has already done great things for us. Amen. Come on, let's thank him. Hallelujah. 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 There's a sequence of events in the book of Joel. And again, when you read it, you'll see he says now, and then he says and then, and now, and then. He's prophesying. He's talking about the now, then he's talking about the future. And it might be that the sequence of events in your life have been tough, have been tough. I love how the British say this. I heard this once, and I just loved it. Maybe your life has been fraught with all manner of chaos. I wish we talked like that, right? Listen again. Filled with all manner, all kinds of chaos. Right? It has. Doesn't change the word of God. Doesn't change the word of God. Those trials, they're causing us to become, in the real sense of the word, they're causing us to become moms today. As you are sitting here and you might have things weighing on you, you're so happy it's Mother's Day, but you have things weighing on you that hurt. They hurt. Marriage, maybe it's your spouse sitting next to you. Forgive me for being so personal, but who cares? Maybe it's your spouse sitting next to you. Your marriage is kind of on the rocks. Maybe it's your child, and maybe they picked up and came just because it's Mother's Day. I'm glad you came. I would want my kids here. Actually, your mothers be more than flowers, more than gifts. If they belong to God, the greatest gift you could have given them is to be here today. That's the greatest gift you could have given them. That's what they really wanted. So maybe it's things are just upside down, and you know what gets a little tricky for us as believers, and that's why we're kind of in this space. Watch. God has done great things. He has done great things. He spoke it over us. He's declared it over us. It's going to happen. And then we're over here, and we're praying. And no gift. There's no movement. There's nothing happening. That is the time to say, in the moment, He has done great things. Because your enemy, Satan's favorite place to get us in, of all, it's not getting us to cheat and this and steal and lie and all. That's not his favorite place. His favorite place to get us is when he can get us into a place where we think about our problems and say, God isn't going to help me. Right? Because without blank, it's impossible to please God. Without faith. Faith says, He has done great things. I don't have to see it. I don't have to hear about it because I'm going to say this verse right now. The word of God says, could you pop that one up? No eye has seen. Your eyes haven't seen it yet. How would you know what he's going to do? The Bible says, look at the bottom one first. No, top one first. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. And no mind, your mind could not even wrap around the things that God has prepared for those who work super hard for him, volunteer in church, do all of that, read their Bible every day, go to seminary. Nope. Just love him. That's all we need to do is just love him. Amen. Amen. So, I love it in the GNT. This is so beautiful. What no one ever saw or heard, what no one ever thought could happen, is the very thing God prepared for those who love him. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We thank you. Oh, Lord, we bless you. Lord, I just stop and pause and say, have your way. Have your way. There are many people in the room today that have drifted. They're here, and I'm so glad they're here, Lord, but they've drifted. But you brought them here today, even to hear this word, not just for their moms or for their wives, but for them to know that there's only one place they can turn to, and that's you. So would you draw them, Lord, by your Holy Spirit? Would you draw them by your Spirit, Lord? Let them experience the real Jesus, maybe for the first time today, the real Jesus, the one I'm talking about. God, let them experience. So in these next few moments, God, Holy Spirit, come like rain. Fall like rain on this place. Revelation. Revelation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, things, lives, right, were fraught with all manner of chaos, right? And you say, well, while I'm praying, it would be really great if, like, God could, like, show me all the things that he's going to do. Imagine how much more I'd praise him if I just knew all the great things he was going to do for me. But it doesn't work like that. And there's a reason. And note, it says, God does everything on purpose. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind could even imagine the great things he has in store, paraphrasing, for his people that he has prepared for those who love him. And I got to thinking about it in prayer, and I was like, why, Lord, why don't you tell us? I know the Christmas gift thing and all that. Yeah, that makes sense. But, man, I could just have more, I could just be encouraged more. I could just have a lot more joy, a lot more song in my heart if you told me, but he doesn't. And I'll tell you what I felt like he showed me is God started to show us some, we would still put it in the realm of ordinary things. We only think in terms of ordinary because we're just human. But God, he wants to do extraordinary things. Extraordinary things, like massive things, like stuff that you'd never imagine. Like if you told me, I'm going to show you a picture in a little while, but if you told me that I would be standing up here on Mother's Day, that I would be a mom on Mother's Day that loves Jesus and that I'd be speaking to people, I would say, no way, no how. I just wanted to get free. Like I was just talking to someone Stacy Bowes. She said, you're right, Chrissy, because I just wanted freedom. I just wanted to get free. I could have never wrapped my mind around the fact that I'd be like working for the Lord full time, or that Jake would be coming into my life and I'd be getting married to him, and that we would save ourselves till marriage to be intimate. Like I would never think I could do that. But those are the great things God has in store. And he's saying, no, no, no. I want to show off my glory. I want to show off a little bit. I want to show you what I can do when you just love me and trust me. Hallelujah. Well, I want to show you really quick. So some of you know, probably many of you know, I have a story. I put it in a book. It's called Girl in the Song. If you've never read it, guy or girl, I encourage you to get it. You can get it on Amazon, Girl in the Song by Chrissy Toledo. And my story took me 3 years to write because I had to go into the rooms of my life, if you will, that were very hard to open the door and walk back into. Have you ever felt that? Like really hard to go back into those rooms. I wanted to throw the key out a long time ago, but for the sake of the people that would be reading, that's why I want you to read my book. Because I wrote it, it was hard, and God gets so much glory through my story. He gets so much glory through my story. But I was away from God, and I literally turned my entire back on God, even though I really loved him. I came from a great Christian home, no abuse in my past, nothing like that, but series of events, right? Like we were just talking about the complexity of life and all these things that were going on behind the scenes. I turned my back on God. And this was me as a single mom after having my baby. And you could see, even in the picture, the bondage. You could just see in my, forgive me, that was the 80s, so those hairdos. That was a cute hairdo back then. But you could just when I look at it, right? Can't you see it? It's bondage. If you knew how trapped that girl was, how obsessed I was with a relationship, being good enough to be chosen, measuring up that I would do anything to feel like I could somehow measure up. And in the midst of it, a little girl comes, my daughter, Susie. She had to go along for the horrific ride of the first, you know, year or two of her life. I moved all over the country. I lost jobs. I lost homes. I am not being melodramatic. I, at one point, was eating a can of beans out of a can, and I don't even know what I was feeding her. When I was pregnant with her, I didn't eat. She should not be alive. I denied the fact that I was pregnant for most of my pregnancy. But see how lost you can be. See how dark, when that darkness comes over you, and maybe you're here, you're a child of a mom here, and you're like, she's speaking my language. I'm not going to tell anybody, but she's speaking my language. I feel trapped. I was trapped in a lifestyle that I would have never wanted to get into. And if you, again, if you would have said, if someone would have told me what future God had in store for me, I would have never believed it. I would have never believed it. I tried to take my life. It was the day I tried to take my life that a church like this began to call upon the Lord for Chrissy. And I came home and God rescued me. A church just like this. Just like this. And that little girl, she never knew her biological father. You know how it goes, statistics. She should be a statistic. She should have been my most rebellious kid, all that. But when I turned my life to Jesus, His grace came upon my life. His grace came upon my life. And this child, my daughter Annie, who you just saw in that those announcements and led worship, she and I marvel at her sister, my daughter, my other daughter Susie, this Susie. She is the most godly woman you'd ever meet in her life because God has done great things. Because I declare it, God has done great things. He has done great things. He has done it. That little girl is a powerful woman of God. Look, you could switch it. This is what happens when you believe God has done great things. Help me. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. Amen. Yes. What do you think? Can God do great things? I didn't do that. No. No good mom could do that. Only God. I could have never wrapped around what I would see in that gift, right? That surprise. I would have never imagined. I would have never imagined. But you know what I've tried to do? Just love God. I haven't been a perfect person by any stretch. I failed Him. I haven't, but He gives us His precious blood. When Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, everything we'd ever need was provided. Amen. Everything we'd ever need was going to be provided. So here, it's so amazing to see the great things that God has in store for you, to see it come to fruition. You have to believe God the Father, that what He says is true and that what He says He means. Go back to the surprise, okay? Just because you don't see it. Stand on the word. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine. Stand on the word. He's holding out, and He wants to surprise you. He's going to do it. When He does it, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. You just saw it. But this is the thing. So you have to trust God the Father, His word, right through the prophet, right? That was God's word. Then, what makes it possible is Jesus, what He did on the cross. That blood it makes a way for that amazing thing God is going to do. Let's say in your kid's life, you say, oof, they are, I can't imagine how there would be forgiveness for my kid or my husband after what he did, or for me after what I did. Just want to talk about for 1 minute is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, when Jesus went up to heaven, read it in your Bible. I got to imagine that the disciples were probably like, oh my gosh, like, what do we do now? He called us, we left our jobs, fishermen, we don't do that anymore. And now he's going, he said he would, but now it's happened. What do we do now? But right before he went, right before Jesus ascended to heaven to get ready what we're going to experience, he said this, hang out because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was what we needed just as desperately, I mean this, just as desperately as the blood over our lives, we needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. Because even in the Gospels, when you see how Jesus operated, he spent time alone. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he went and did miracles like taking a couple loaves and fish and turned it into a meal for 5,000. It was always through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that power is available to you in the waiting. It's available to you. I was sharing this morning, when you become a Christian, and I'm going to invite people at the end of this service to just say yes to loving God. Commit your life to Jesus. But when you do that, okay, when you do that, you're instantly, God comes and lives inside of you by his Spirit. You have him. Immediately, instantly, you have the Spirit of God helping you to say no, helping you to do what you don't want to do. I want to do this, but somehow the Spirit is drawing me over to do this, and this is the right thing. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, but it gets better. He actually told them, he said, my guys, I want you to wait and tarry because I'm going to do something extraordinary. And if you read in the second chapter of Acts, they were doing exactly what he said, always do what God says. And they were sitting up there, and all of a sudden, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, last night we had a baptismal tank. And the Lord, I was in London last week and sitting in a meeting, and I go to my husband, can I baptize girls at Illuminate? I was afraid to see how he'd answer. And I'm so glad he was in the Spirit and there was worship. I did one of those. Can I do it? Because, you know, I mean, I'm in charge of some things here, but he's the chief. And I was like, if he says no, then maybe it's not God. But he's like, absolutely. And the girls, the staff girls, volunteers made it happen so fast. We sent the girls that got saved back. We got them clothes. I bought them leggings and stuff. And it was so great. It was great. It was amazing. So it was so cool to see them go into the water. And we explained, it signifies the old life going in and the new life coming out. It was so great. And so that's one type of baptism that we are supposed to do when we become Christians. If you never have, you should. But there's another baptism, right, that the Bible references, and it's that Spirit baptism. So it's like we have the Spirit of God living in us, but he wants to send another measure of power. Can you imagine that? It's like spiritual workout, like muscles, big muscles in the Spirit that the Spirit baptism gives us. So for me, so I came back to the Lord. God had done a miracle in my life. I was the prodigal kid that came home. And it was an amazing story how I came home. But then with the prayer meeting and everything. But then I was thrusted into full-time ministry. God has a sense of humor because as a single mom, he put me into full-time ministry. The great things that God will do. He doesn't say, no, you need 10 years before you can be useful. He said, I'm going to make you useful right away because you love me. You've chosen me. So he did that. And while I was in that season, I wanted to receive that second work of grace, the baptism. I knew the Spirit lived in me, but I knew I needed a little more. I needed more because I was ministering, single mom. And people would like pray for me and some would push me and all that. I was like, no. We're not doing it that way. I don't want anything fake. I don't want anything contrived. I don't want any, that's not me. Sorry. I needed to be the real deal. But I did still hunger after it. I just was annoyed when people were like pushing me and telling me to speak in tongues. We should never do that here. So I'm in my apartment. So this is, I'm single. It's before we were married. I have my daughter. And I'm just saying, God, like, I love you. I love you. It was an evening, and I started to play on my keyboard. And I specifically began to sing about the blood of Jesus. It's just the Spirit of God in me wanted me to sing about the blood of Jesus. And so I'm playing it, and as I'm playing it, something happened, and I was all alone, so I knew it was real. I felt this sort of like a warm sensation kind of come over me. It was legit, so much so that I was like, it's happening. I was like, what? Oh, so this is what it is. It was like, for me at least, that's how it was. It might be different for you. But it was like this warm sensation, and then all of a sudden, like, I just fell to my knees because I was like, God, you're so real. And then, like, I felt my mouth just kind of get loose, like my tongue was loose, and it was like a, almost like a gibberish-sounding prayer. It was interesting, but it was like the beginning of having, like, speaking in tongues. And over the years of my walk with the Lord, it's been decades now, the Lord has, you know, developed that, you know, as I was baptized in the Spirit, to the point where I'll pray, and this is the what it's intended for. There's sometimes, you guys, where you need to pray for someone, for yourself, and you don't even have the words. Have you ever felt that way? I can't even begin to, or sometimes you're praying for someone. And I was just recently on a Tuesday night at the altar, and it was Artemisa was down there. She's so beautiful, little thing. And I put my hand under her, and I'm just going to pray for her. You know, Lord, bless her. And all of a sudden, this, like a tongue came out of my mouth, like another language, not a language I could recognize, but as I'm praying for her, it just kept going. And then what I realized was that there were things that I would have never known to pray for her, but the Spirit was interceding through me. And that's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. They gathered together, and in fact, they started speaking in tongues that people around the area came, and they heard, let's just say, Chinese, and they heard an African dialect, and they heard this, and they heard that, and they were like, what is going on here? So I told my husband, I want to go to Asia sometime and pray, give me the mic, and somehow I'll pray in Chinese. I don't know if that'll ever happen. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but it did happen to his disciples. I said all that about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, has never been so important in my life as it is right now. Even at my age, 54 years old, my thoughts will go to the wrong place. I will relive. What's the word? Ruminate. I will ruminate. I will walk in fear. I will do all of those things unless I depend and lean in on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets you through. The blood is what makes the way, but the Holy Spirit as you are anticipating the great things that God is about to do that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind can imagine. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to stand. It gives you the power to stand, Mom. Mom, it's tough. I know, fraught with all manner of chaos. It's tough. I know it's tough. Broken relationships, all of that. But the Holy Spirit is here to rain down upon your life in such a way that you'll say, what a tangible change. I was just telling my husband, we were, I think, in London or in Asia within the last few weeks, and I woke up one morning in the hotel room. I said, Al, I'm different. You know, by the way, he sometimes gives you a fresh baptism. That happened to me about 3 years ago. I was driving in a car, and I was just like, Lord, I need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. I want more. I want fire. I want something different. And something happened in a car ride where I just got desperate with God. And now he's done a new thing in my life. A new thing in my life. Fresh power. Oh, passion. Fresh passion. And to top it off, he said, wait. Remember he said when he ascended, he said, wait, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. We just talked about that. And you will be my witnesses. So you could even be fraught with all manner of chaos over here in your life right now. But you could all of a sudden get a passion to lead others to Christ right while you're in your, it's happening in my life. God wants it to happen in your life. Listen, the great things he has in store, God said it. The blood makes the way for it, and the Holy Spirit gives you the power to stand until it's accomplished, till it's realized, until it's realized. It will be realized in your life. You saw what God did in that single mom. Did I deserve it? No way. I did the things that put him on the cross. I did the kind of things that actually he went to the cross for, and he said, it's okay, I have done great things for you, just love me. Just love me and then wait and see what I will do. The divine promise over your life will be accomplished. The promise that he has done great things. Come on, would you thank him right now for that? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.